amazed how you care.
Precious blood, I found pardon.
And my sins, they're washed. They're all washed away. All my sins, all they're washed away. You love me. I'm amazed how much you really care.
Your precious blood, I found.
All that stand, sing with all your heart.
My sins,
they're washed.
They're all washed away.
Oh, all
my sins.
Oh, you gotta sing it one more time. I'm amazed that you love me. Somebody say praise the Lord. All because of Calvary. All because of Calvary. Because we owe debts, no way we could even come close to paying them. He paid a debt he didn't owe any of us. Aren't you glad for Calvary? Aren't you glad that you're living proof tonight that Calvary was a success? It worked for you, didn't it? Let's give him a big hand clap of praise in the house of the Lord tonight. I'm so amazed that you love me. I'm amazed how much you really care. Say glory. Well, what a privilege it is to be back in the house of the Lord. Amen. Did any of you get to see Brother Donnie preach yesterday? Anybody get to see that? I tell you what, he was so happy he didn't know what to do. And his interpreter, I thought at any second, was going to attack Brother Donnie. He was so excited. It's just a lovely, lovely meeting. And I know that God, that same God that's in Switzerland in a meeting, he's with Brother David in New Zealand. He's going to be with Brother Darrell here tonight. Amen. We're fixing to have church.
Amen.
We have been resurrected from the dead.
Glory.
Are you glad about it tonight?
Amen.
Somebody say glory. Amen. Oh, you can beat that. Give him a real good hand clap of praise. I'm so amazed that you love me. Lord, I'm amazed. Praise the Lord. God bless you tonight. I got a feeling you're going to really put something into this service tonight. Praise the Lord. You know why? It's just like anything else. You'll get out of something just exactly what you put into something. Church is the same way. It's a lot more precious, though, to put a lot in here than it is to do a lot of things out there. Amen. This is eternal life we're dealing with. Amen. I'm going to let you be seated for just a bit tonight while we look at our prayer request. Brother Jack Strader, he wants to thank the church for praying for him from West Virginia. He is doing a lot better, and he wants to just say thank you. Also, we want to continue to pray for Sister Nola Babb. She is in rehab right now. Let's just pray that the Lord would be mindful of her and just give her a speedy, speedy recovery. Brother Joel Moyer says to please keep his wife in prayer for an unspoken prayer request. Got something on my heart that God knows all about. For our two daughters and our oldest daughter, God knows all about the situation. May God bless you. So we just commit those things unto the Lord. Brother Gene Lehman's in service with us tonight. Been absent for 2 or 3 weeks. Brother Gene, God bless you. Good to see you in the service tonight. Amen. Brother Gene wants to thank everyone for their prayers, cards, and phone calls. He has been out sick for a little while, but he is back in service, so we thank the Lord for that. Brother Gary, Sister Lona, they have a very important unspoken prayer request. God bless you all, so we just commit that to the Lord. Brother Baker wants us to have prayer for Sarah England Ellis, who is having a lot of problems. So let's remember that's their daughter. Let's remember those requests tonight. I want to remember Sister Wilma Benton in prayer. The Lord would be mindful of her and Brother Jackie also during their sickness and during this time. Sister Janet Lehman says to please pray for my sister Peggy Knight. She is in the hospital with infection and asks for prayer. So we certainly want to remember that prayer request tonight. Nate Painter says my uncle just found out he has an aggressive brain cancer. Without treatment, they would give him a month to live. I know our God is a healer. Just want to ask everyone to join us in prayer. So let's certainly commit that need unto the Lord tonight. All the unspoken prayer requests, you have needs you'd like to have this congregation pray about. We're serving a great risen Savior tonight. Do you believe that with all your heart? Brother Arndt, God bless you. Good to see you and your family back in the house of the Lord at your post of duty. God bless you, buddy. Praise the Lord. Amen. Brother Amos, why don't you come tonight? Take us to the Lord in prayer on behalf of these prayer requests. Let's just commit them unto the Lord. Could we stand tonight? Brother Amos, God bless you as you come tonight. God bless you, buddy. Thank you. Appreciate you.
Shall we bow our heads and our hearts before Him? Lord, we thank you, Father God, for the testimonies that which we have heard, Lord. Father God, you're a great God. You've been doing so many good things, Lord. So many prayers have answered, and we give you thanks for that, God, tonight. Lord, when we think that circumstances sometimes, that human understanding, we don't know which way it's going to go, what the outcome is going to be. But there's one thing for certain. You have our best interest in mind, Lord. There isn't a person that walks the face of the earth that couldn't say that you don't have their best interest in mind. Lord God, tonight we know that we have not just our best interest in mind, Father God, but we know as your children and your elect, Father God, we are highly favored of you. Lord, we're well placed, Lord, before you. We thank you for that, Lord. Not that we chose you, but Lord, that you chose us. Father God, tonight as we've read these requests, oh God, and Lord, I think of Brother Gary and Sister Lona. Lord, whatever that special situation is there, Father God, that they're facing, Lord God, we pray, God, tonight that you would undertake on their behalf, Lord. God, whatever it is that they're staring in the face of and whatever's staring them in the face, Lord. Well, Lord God, we can stare that situation in the face tonight, Lord, with our face set as a flint, not flinching, Lord God, holding to the promise that devil's got to move. Lord God, we pray and we thank you, Lord, for what you've done in Sister Joanne, Lord God, coming through that surgery this week, Lord God. Lord, as she's probably at home tonight recovering, Father God, we thank you, Lord, for giving her a good surgery. Pray that her recovery, Lord, as she is getting strength back and gaining her mobility back, Lord God, we pray that you would continue, Lord God, to give her movement in those knee joints, Lord God. Thank you for Brother Gene, Lord God, and what you've done for him, Lord God. Lord God, all these requests, God, tonight, Lord. Father God, people that we don't even know, Lord God, that we heard their name mentioned, God, tonight. We pray that you would move, Father God, for them tonight, Lord. We know that the bank of heaven, Lord, no check has ever bounced, Lord God. Father God, we thank you for that, Lord God, tonight. Lord, we have such great wealth, such great riches, and help us, Lord God, to claim and tap into that which is rightfully ours, Lord, because you paid it all for us, Lord God, and you want us to have it. And we thank you for that, God, tonight, in advance, Lord, for our brother Arndt being here, God, tonight, Lord God. The testimony that I heard in that situation, Lord. God, how marvelous and how true your works are, Lord God. We don't have to look far for miracles. They're happening right here. Help us, God, to recognize what's going on among us, Lord God. It's the spirit of the resurrection. Bless our brother God tonight as he comes to minister the word to us. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Thank you, buddy. Praise the Lord. Ushers, if you want to come at this time, we'll receive the evening offering. You give us unto the Lord. If you're a visitor tonight with us in the service, we want to take this opportunity to welcome you. I haven't heard anything about the youth in Louisiana. Has anybody heard anything? They're having a good time, good meetings. Yeah, all is well. Doing real good. Well, praise the Lord for that. They'll be coming home probably sometime in the Monday morning hours, I guess. So let's remember them in prayer tonight. I believe Brother Joel Brown is ministering somewhere tonight too. So we want to pray that the Lord just bless our brother as he ministers wherever he would be tonight. Let's sing Brother Joel's song. If anybody asks you where we're going, what are we going to tell them? We're going up yonder. Amen. Are you going up yonder? How many of you ever heard of yonder? You know anything about yonder? That's where you're headed. Somebody say praise the Lord. Give him one more hand clap of praise. If anybody asks you where I'm going,
beyond. God gives me grace, I'm gonna run my race till I see my Savior. I see Him face to face.
We're going in the rapture.
Going in the rapture.
We're going in the rapture.
Yes, we're going in the rapture.
We're going in the rapture
to be with my Lord. I'm going in the rapture. Yes, I'm going.
Father, praise the Lord. Will you just sing it so good? I don't know what to do with you right now, but I'm going to let you be seated. Brother David Swanson is going to come give us a song, and then Brother Harry is going to sing us a song after he sings. They're going to turn Brother Darrell Ward loose out here, and it's untelling what he'll do. Untelling. We appreciate our brother, don't we? Amen. Brother David, we love Brother David Swanson, don't we? Amen. Give him a good hand tonight as he gets ready.
Who told the sun where to rise in the morning? Who told the ocean you can only come this far? And who showed the moon where to hide till evening? Whose words alone can catch a falling star? Well, I know my Redeemer lives. Yes, I know my Redeemer lives. Let all creation testify. This life within me cry, I know my Redeemer lives. That very same God who spins worlds in orbit runs to the weak, the weary, and the worn. Same gentle hands that hold me when I'm broken, oh, they conquered death to bring me victory. Yes, I know sin was the precious life he gave, and now he's alive and there's an empty grave. Yes, I know my Redeemer lives. Yes, I know my Redeemer.
Hallelujah. We want to read from Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. And also we want to read from Luke chapter 11, starting at verse 5. Amen. We greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus. We count it an honor to be with you here on this Easter weekend. It's always good to be home, but especially this time of year, it's good to be home. And we just appreciate the opportunity that's been given to us to stand and preach to our home folk. Amen. And we trust something to be said to help you and encourage you. We're just excited. Some of the things we've been looking at, and we just trust to be a blessing to you this weekend. Amen. And I want you to come tonight. I want you to believe that no matter what you're facing in life, no matter what you're going through in life, our Redeemer lives. Amen. And not only did he redeem our souls, but he's the healer of our bodies. Amen. And so no matter what you're facing tonight, financial trouble, spiritual trouble, marriage trouble, whatever it would be tonight, I believe we serve a God who can do something about it. Amen. He said, these signs shall follow them that believe. This is who we are, friends. We don't have to pump it up, work it up, play it up. We simply believe the promises of the word. Amen. Heavens and earth will pass away, yet my word will never pass away. So we can hang our souls on what he said here tonight. And the Bible said, these signs shall follow them that believe. Amen. They asked Brother Branham, said, Brother Branham, is healing for me? He said, healing is for anyone if you believe it. Do you believe it tonight? Then it's for you. Amen. If he's able to heal my body, he's certainly able to heal my marriage, heal my bank account. Whatever I have need of tonight, I can cast my cares upon him because I know he cares for me tonight. Hallelujah. Oh, how, don't you love him? Praise God. Hebrews 11:6 now, and then we want to read from Luke chapter 11, verse 5. May the Lord bless you. Amen. The Bible says this, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, amen, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Amen. That diligently seek him. Now Luke 11 verse 5. Amen. Luke 11 verse 5. Praise the Lord. See if I can get unhooked some of this stuff off of me here. While you're turning there in the scriptures. Amen. Praise the Lord. Luke 11 now, we want to read from verse 5. Hallelujah. I feel good tonight. And he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend? And shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine is in his journey, has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed, and I cannot rise and give thee. But I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is a friend, yet because of his importunity. Right. Now the word importunity means a plea that is so persistent that it almost becomes annoying. I say to you, though he will not rise and give him because he's his hunting buddy, yet because of his constant, annoying plea, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. Now notice this. He takes that. Now notice what he ties in. And I say to you, ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. That's thus saith the word of God. Let's bow our heads. I want to speak to you for a few minutes this evening on call on him. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do that just now, Lord. We call upon your name because there's not a name greater to call upon tonight. You are the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Father, every promise of your word is true tonight. And Lord, we believe it within the depths of our heart. May you come tonight, oh Father, I pray, and step out of the pages of the Bible and walk among us this evening. Lord, may the word become so real that there would be a cry from our souls to call unto you, Lord, for every need that we would have need of tonight. May every spirit that's contrary to the word of God come subject to the word of God tonight. And Lord, when we leave the building, may our shackles, Lord, fall from us. May our sick be healed. May our lives, Lord, be encouraged, God, we pray. May our hearts burn within us because you promised, Lord, you'd meet with us, Father. Bless those tonight around the world in the Easter meetings. Brother David down in New Zealand, Lord. Brother Donnie and Brother Tim and Brother Ron. Brother Biscoe, those over in Switzerland down at the youth camp where our children are, Father, do great things, we pray, Lord. Around the world, oh God, may we rally up under the wings of Jehovah, for the hour is at hand for the manifestation of the sons of God. May we rise to our position, Lord, and not be afraid to stand toe to toe and drive the enemy back, for he has been defeated by the blood of Calvary. Father, we commit it into your hands tonight for your glory, for we ask these things in Jesus' name. And the bride says, amen. Amen. God bless you, saints. You may be seated. Now, in our scripture reading this evening, we find that this man comes to his friend's house. Now, you know, just maybe set a little background, not to know exactly how this scene played out, but we'll say perhaps that this man knew that he didn't have no bread, but it was kind of getting late towards the evening. He thought, well, you know, it's kind of late, probably nobody going to come by, so I'll just get up in the morning, go down to the market and get some bread. But little did he know, about that time when he's getting towards the evening, the time getting late, he began to get a knock at the door. And when he opened the door, it was a friend of his that he wasn't expecting to come by. So I figured this must be a southern folk, because you know how we are in the south. We just kind of drop by. Amen. And so he just kind of dropped by unannounced, and the man didn't have nothing to give him. So he kind of got embarrassed, but he said, hey, you sit right here. I've got another friend, and I'll go to the friend and get some bread. Now, perhaps, I don't know, but we'll just say that he knew that this man would have some bread. So perhaps this man was a baker. I don't know. But you know, he knew that this man would have some bread. So he goes down to the friend's house and he begins to knock up on the door. And he said, hey, I know it's late. I'm sorry to bother you, but you know, I wasn't expecting company, and somebody's come by and I've got no bread to give them. And I wonder, could I get some bread off of you? But the man inside the door, he said, you know, hey, buddy, it's kind of late. And the kids are done in bed, and I've done shut the door from within, and I just simply cannot get up and disturb my family and give you some bread. You're going to have to go somewhere else. But the Bible said the man who needed the bread, he knew this man had what he needed. Let me say that again. He knew this man had what he needed. And he said, there's no use to go anywhere else, because you've got what I need. So he continued to knock upon the door and said, hey, it won't take but a second. Just get up and give me some bread. I'll be on my way. And the Bible said that the man got up and gave the man some bread. But he never gave him the bread because he was his friend. But he gave him the bread because he would not quit asking. Oh, let that be a lesson to us. Sometimes we just ask one time. But oh, if we catch the real revelation, let us stay right there, because we know he's got what I need. Amen. He got the bread because he would not quit asking. And then Jesus took this story and he said, I say unto you. So who's he talking to? You. Amen. I say unto you, ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. That's the Bible. That's what the Bible says. I want you to understand tonight, that's just as much the word of God as let there be light. And listen to me, every word of God is only as true as every word of God. Amen. So if we can believe that God made the moon and God made the stars, then we can also believe this scripture is just as true. But I want you to see, who is it that fulfills that scripture? It's you. Not Jesus. Ain't it funny how we all the time sit around waiting for Jesus to do something for us? Remember when the little fella had the tumor in its tongue, and the prophet of God said he was sitting there and the tongue was hanging out of the little baby's mouth, and he had cancer in the tongue. And Brother Branham said, the Lord spoke to him and said, what are you doing? He said, I was waiting to see what you're going to do. And he said, the Lord spoke to him and said, I was waiting to see what you're going to do. Amen. Amen. You know, it surprises me how many times people will come to the front. I don't mind. I'll pray for anybody. I believe in praying for the sick. I believe in praying for needs. But I can't tell you the times that people come and say, I want to be closer to the Lord. Like you've got some kind of wand and you can wave a wand and it'll make them closer to the Lord. But you see, the Bible said, the prophet said, how can I fall deeper in love with God? You know what he said to do? Don't come and get prayed for. He said, read your Bible and pray. But we live in a society where people want something for nothing. Hey man, is that all right? Jesus said, you ask, you seek, you knock. That's the word of God. Amen. That's something we must do. He's not going to do it for us. Huh? Is that right? You know what Jesus said? Jesus said the fields are white for harvest. He knew there needed to be laborers. He knew that, the prophet said. But he made us a part of it. But he said, you ask. Ask that the Lord may send laborers into the fields. Brother Bev said, he said, ask me what I know needs to be done. Why did he do that? Because he wanted you to have a part of it. Amen. God's word don't lie. Huh? God said, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. Is that the word of God? Is that the truth? He said, if you ask, you'll get it. If you seek, you'll find it. If you knock, the door will be opened unto you. Then what happens, Brother Amos, if you don't do that? Huh? If there's a positive to that scripture, there should be a negative. He said, if you ask, you'll get it. If you seek, you'll find it. If you knock, it'll be opened to you. But what if I don't ask? What if I don't seek? What if I don't knock? What if I just sit there like somebody dead? What if I just sit there, oh my, like it can't happen to me? I'll never get it. You say, well, I don't know about that. The Bible says you have not because you ask not. And you ask not because you believe not. But the Bible says, ask abundantly that your joy may be full. I don't know about you, but I want my tank of joy to be full. I don't want a half a tank. I don't want a quarter of tank of joy. But it says, ask abundantly that your joy may be full. Huh? You believe that? You have not because you ask not. And you ask not because you believe not. Ask abundantly that your joys may be full. Here's the rest of that quote. That's what God wants. He is dependent on you asking and believing and receiving what you ask for. The prophet said, ask God for big things. God wants you to ask him for big things. You know why I believe God wants us to ask for big things? Because he's able to provide big things. And when we ask God to do the unimaginable, when we ask God for miracles, it just shows God, that's how much I believe you. When Jessica was blind, there's a woman I work with coming out to the hospital to see us. I wasn't there. Cheryl was there with Jessica. And this woman told Cheryl their child had spinal meningitis as a baby. Real high fever. And when the child got over it, it left the child deaf. And her name was Libby. And Libby told my wife, she said, but we was willing to accept our child being deaf just to get him back. But my wife told me when Libby told her that, something inside of her spoke and said, but we won't accept that. Amen. I'm not just asking God to raise my daughter up. I'm asking him to restore her sight, restore her ability to walk, restore her ability. Amen. Why do we ask God for little things? Let's ask God for big things. Huh? Well, I don't know about that. Well, you're sitting like you don't know about that. If I prove it to you by the Bible, will you amen it?
Amen. Come
on.
Yes,
sir. Huh? Will you? Now, don't say you will if you won't because you're lying in church. Don't do that. That ain't nice. Remember Elijah and Elisha? Huh? Elijah told Elisha, I'm fixing to leave. What do you want? You know what Elisha said? He didn't say, I want your ministry. I want your robe. I want your gift. You know what he said? I want a double portion. Oh, hallelujah. I don't want just what you got. I want what you got plus more. Amen. We come to church and we sing so softly, so wonderfully. Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. That's so sweet. There's just something about that tune. It's peaceful. But you see, if you get a real revelation on what I'm talking about tonight, you don't come to church singing, fill my cup, but you come singing, fill my truck, Lord. I lift it up. Oh, hallelujah. He wants us to ask for big things. Why would we ask for a low blood count when we can ask for deliverance from a tumor? Amen. Why would we ask for relief when we can ask for total deliverance? Amen. That's the way to ask, Brother Brennan said. Ask plenty. God likes to give it that way. The trouble, people say, I ask the Father so much. He says, oh my, don't be scared to ask Him. Ask all you can ask. He likes to give you just as much as you've got faith to receive. I ain't asking you tonight, but I wonder how much faith do we have? Amen. Hey, ask all you can ask. He likes to give you just as much faith, just as much as you've got faith to receive. See, He won't run out. God's got plenty of blessings. You know, the trouble around this message is we got sippers. They'll come to church and they just a sip. Oh my God, I think I got too much. I won't be able to get none Wednesday night. So we got sippers. Just enough to get their lips wet. But let me tell you something. I'm not ashamed of it, but the truth is the truth. There was a time in my life I was a drunk. That's the truth. My family was drunk. I just followed in her steps. I'm not being proud of it, but I am being honest. But let me tell you something. When I drunk, I drunk. Yes, brother. Come on. Oh, I tell you, you know what we need? Oh, don't get quiet on me. You know what we need in this message? We don't need some sippers. We need some drunks. Yes. Hallelujah. We need to get so drunk on the Holy Ghost that we will doubt our doubts. Amen. We need to get so drunk we forget what our name is. Get some of the starch out of us. Imagine a little fish in the ocean. That's the way we are. A little bitty men out in the ocean. Well, I'm there. You know, I might get excited. I better just sit here. I might get excited and shout a little bit. Well, go ahead and shout. Can you imagine that little fish running out of water? Can you imagine us running out of the blessings of God? It ain't that God don't have enough blessings. The truth of it is we don't have enough faith to ask for it. Huh? But Ben said, ask for big things. You know, I was thinking about that. I thought, you know, that's right. You know what I'm asking for tonight? I'm asking for a move of God. That's what I'm asking for. I'm asking for people to be healed tonight. I'm asking for somebody to dance in the Spirit tonight. I'm asking for somebody to get the Holy Ghost tonight. I'm asking for somebody to find salvation tonight. Why shouldn't we ask for it? Why shouldn't we believe Him for it? Why should we not come expecting our God to do those things for us? Because He's living. He's alive. He lives. I can't wait till my body changes. Jeremiah 33:3 says this. Call unto me and I will answer thee. That's the word of God. And I'll show you great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Ain't it something?
just because the seals are open, we think we know everything. And yet the prophet of God said we'll be learning of Jesus throughout the millennium. But God said, call unto me. Call unto me. And I will. I will. Not maybe. Not hope so. Not could be. Not if you say fancy words. Not if you pray long enough. That's not what he said. He said, if you'll call, I will answer. Huh? I'm so glad to know that my God has a calling plan. You see, we've got a calling plan through Verizon. Huh? But the trouble with that calling plan is Allison only gets so many gigs a month, which lasts about 8 days. And then it's $10 for every gig after that. How many knows what I'm talking about now? But I'm so glad God don't have that kind of calling plan. Aren't you? Aren't you glad God don't give us? Aren't you got 1 gigabyte? 1 gigabyte, if you use that, it's going to cost you. You're going to have to pay double in your tithes. No, God don't do that. God's got an unlimited call. An unlimited calling plan. How many gigs do I have? I tell you, you've got G-O-D. I'm so glad of that. But you know, we come to church and we act like we've got a half a gig. That's nonsense. It's unlimited. It's unlimited. God said, you call, I'll answer. Now, how does this plan work, God? How does your plan work? Well, it's easy. Is this something like AT&T? No, it's G-O-D. Is your plan something like Sprint? No, my plan's Spirit. Is it Verizon? Honey, it's way past Verizon and Horizon. Come on, somebody. It's unlimited. Said, God, how does your plan work? It's simple. Call and I'll answer. Well, Brother Dow, I asked God. I called God up and nothing happened. No, here's what happened. You confused call waiting with a busy signal. Amen. Huh? If God don't answer when we think he should answer, we think we got a busy signal. But God's calling plan has no busy signal. But he does have call waiting. Listen to me. Just because God don't answer when you think he should answer doesn't mean he don't answer. Huh? Case in point, Abraham stayed on the line 25 years. I was studying this the other day down in Arizona, and the Lord spoke to me and said, was not Congressman Upshaw in a wheelchair 66 years? And I thought, my goodness, was he? I didn't even know. So I went and looked it up, and guess what? 66 years. Was not Congressman Upshaw 66 years in a wheelchair? That's what the Lord spoke to me. Was not Congressman Upshaw 66 years in a wheelchair? And God said, I brought him out. Now, friends, I don't know, but I wonder, you tell me, I think he was 18-year-old when Congressman Upshaw fell off of a stack of hay or a hay wagon and broke his back. As a young boy, how many times do you think Congressman Upshaw asked God for his healing? In 66 years, how many times do you think he asked God to heal him? And how many people after 6 months? How many people after 1 year? How many people after 3 years all but give up? that he'll ever come out of a wheelchair. Just be honest, friends. Just be honest. When Jessica was blind and people called, I thank God, listen to me. I thank God for, I have never forgot you people. I have never forgot the kindness you showed my family during that time. Never. God knows it's the truth. But people would call down there and they'd ask me, is she seeing? And she wasn't seeing. And I had to say, no. And after so many weeks, Brother Phil, people would call. They'd say, is she seeing? And I said, no. She's not seeing yet. But you could tell their faith began to wane. Until I told Cheryl, you know, I really don't even want to talk about her blindness to anyone. Because everybody was trying to pull me down. That it wasn't going to happen. Because it didn't happen when we thought it would happen. Are you listening to me? 66 years in a wheelchair. Have you seen anyone in a wheelchair? How many months is it before their fingers pull up like this? How long is it before their feet begin to drop down in a wheelchair? You've seen people like that. You know what I'm talking about, Brother King. How long is it before the muscles in their legs to start deteriorate and their legs begin to shrink because they're not being used, because the nerves are not being stimulated? 66 years in a wheelchair. But when God said, get up, he got up and he walked. He walked. You remember the women in Chicago? One of them had stomach trouble, the other had a goiter. They passed through the prayer line. Brother Branham pronounced both of them well. They went home. Weeks went by. The woman with the stomach trouble, her husband said, honey, listen to me. I want you to quit testifying of your healing. You're embarrassing the family because you're testifying and you're no better. So if you don't mind, dear, I appreciate, you know, your enthusiasm, but if you don't mind, would you just kind of quit talking about your healing? And she told her husband, listen, that man didn't know my name. That man didn't know where I lived. That man didn't know what was wrong with me. He told me where I lived. He told me my name. And he told me what was wrong with me. And then he told me I was healed. She said, I figure if that man didn't know. She said, I figure if that man could tell me my name and what was wrong with me and where I come from, then he know whether I'm healed or not. She said, I'm going to keep testifying. Weeks went by. Weeks went by. She was in the kitchen washing dishes. She felt something go over her body. Just something moved over her body. And she got hungry. Oh, God. She went and ate some toast. And it stayed down. She ate some oatmeal. And it stayed down. Then she got the acid test. Some Folgers coffee. Oh, my. Got a big old swig of it. It stayed down. By that time, she got a little bit Pentecostal. She got a little bit happy. She began to rejoice. She began to shout, amen. And she went running up the street to tell her friend who had the goiter. And just as she got to the door to knock, all of a sudden from inside she heard, wow! Now, I don't know if that was a message, believe it or not, but she did get happy. This woman went running in, and there she was shaking the bed sheets. The goiter was gone, and the prophet of God said, what happened was this. The angel of the Lord passed through the neighborhood. Oh my, you remember, Brother Phil, when we as boys, the milkman used to bring the milk and the bread man used to bring the bread and put it on the door. I still remember those days. But oh my, I can just see that morning. Here come the bread man. Here come the milkman. But along about 8:30, here come the angel of the Lord down through the neighborhood pronouncing the blessings. Oh, hallelujah. For the glory of God. Here not long ago I prayed for a sister who had a tumor behind her ear that was so big it made me sick when I touched it. I thought I was going to vomit. It was hanging behind this woman's ear. It wasn't me. I ain't nothing. It was that woman's faith, Brother Gene. That woman's faith was so high, I thought, my God, this is what I thought. They're fixing to tear this place down. Because that tumor's fixing to fall off in the floor. I just knew it. That woman's faith was so high, I thought, my God. I thought, I'm going to hang on here. This place is getting loose. I was preaching on Geronimo. I thought, we're fixing to have a powwow. And I prayed for that woman with everything that was within me. And she turned to walk away. I have never been so disappointed in all my life. I didn't understand it. I didn't understand, Brother Gabriel, why that didn't fall off. Really, I didn't understand it. I was talking to Brother David Siler about it. We was going up the road. We was going up somewhere together to preach. I don't know where we was going, but I was telling him, I said, Brother David Siler, you know, I like old Brother David. He's a good soul. I said, you know, Brother David, I don't understand why that didn't fall off. And the next day, I get a text. They said, 2 days later, the woman was walking through the house and the tumor fell off in the floor. You see, it don't happen sometimes. It don't happen when we think it should happen, but it happens in God's own time. Sometimes God just don't answer at the moment. Amen. He doesn't answer. Daniel prayed 21 days before he got his answer. But God said, if you call, I will answer. I remember a woman in a prayer line. He said, now this woman said, go home now. You can be as happy. You can be happy. Why? Because you're going to be well. Because you've come in the right attitude. No one ever come to Christ in the right attitude. But what went away with what they asked for. No one ever come to God in the right attitude. But what they didn't get, what they asked for. Think about that, friend. Sometimes we want to blame everybody else. But could it be us? Could it be our attitude? Huh? You see, it's all about motive and objective. Amen. But no one ever come to him in the right attitude. Like the Greek woman. Whose daughter was grievously vexed. Brother Ben said perhaps it was mental illness or epilepsy had got a hold of this young girl. But this woman knew if she could get to Jesus, he had the answer to her daughter's sickness. And let me say tonight, Christ is the answer. He's the answer to every problem we've got. He's the answer now. He's always been the answer. He was the answer yesterday. He's the answer today. And if there is a tomorrow, he will be the answer tomorrow. The disciples said, Master, send this woman away. She's running over our back. She's running between our legs. We push her that way. She comes this way. We push her that way. She comes that way. You've got to do something with her. She won't let us alone. She will not go away. She will not take no for an answer. She's almost annoying in her persistence. She was committed to getting to Jesus because you see, Brother Terry, she knew that he was the only one who could help her. Friends, I say it humbly, but I say it truthfully. I have been there myself when I had a daughter that was so hurt that I knew that the only one that could help her was Jesus. There was nobody else, no medicine, no doctors, no scan, no chemo. There was nothing that could help her but Jesus. That's the way this woman was. That's where she found herself. I can't go nowhere else. Committed to getting to Jesus. How persistent are we to get what we need from the Lord. Well, I'll just go up there and see what happens. Might as well stay in your seat. You see, faith is not a hope so. It's a no so. What are we willing to do to be healed? What are we willing to do for a move of God? What are we willing to do to be sealed with the Holy Ghost? We say we want it. We raise our hands that we want it. But what are we really willing to do to get it? Are we willing to push a plate back? Are we willing to pray? Or are we willing to let go of things in our life that hinders us? Huh? Amen. We was in Nicaragua in January. Me, Brother David, Brother Danny Trez went down there with us. And those meetings down there this year, those young people from one side of the aisle to the other, it was full. And them kids laid before the Lord. They cried and they snotted. I'm talking literally snotted. I know that's probably not good to say in church, but so you can understand. The floor was so wet and so slick from where they laid on their face and cried out to God that when I was trying to walk through the kids to pray for them, Brother Philip, I had to watch where I stepped, lest I slip and fall. Because the floor was so wet. When they got up and went back to their seats from one side of the building to the other, you could see puddles of water and puddles of snot where those kids laid on their faces and cried out to God. You know why? Because they had a need and they saw that God was there to meet their need, and they wasn't leaving till what they got from God. And I thought, oh, how I would love to see in America, how I would love to see one of them old fashioned snot slinging altar calls, that we get down and humble ourselves down and cry out to God just once more. God, once more. When you have a need and you see He's there to meet the need, that's the time to cry out. They saw that a God was there who can meet their need. Everybody said, you want to be well? What do you want to be well for? What do you want to be healed for? What's your reason to be healed? What are you telling God? What are you going to do with your life if God heals you? God heals your eyes, what are you going to look at? God heals your tongue. What are you going to talk about? Huh? You see, it's all based on motive and objective. People can take good things and make it wrong because their motive and their objective is wrong. Amen. That's the God's truth, friends. Things that's not wrong, but they make them wrong because their motive of doing what they're doing is wrong. Praise the Lord. Are we desperate enough? How bad do we want it? You know, here last year, for the glory of God, I was in meetings down in New Mexico. Brother Dave and Sister Cindy was in those meetings down there. On the way down to those meetings, my back went out. When we landed down in Albuquerque, Brother Warren, it was all I could do to get off the plane. Oh my God, anybody that's ever had back trouble, you know exactly what I'm talking about. I couldn't put one foot in front of the other. Every step was a grunt. Every move was a groan. I thought, oh my God, let me tell you, when you hurt that bad, there's only one place in the world you want to be. That's at the house in your bed. But I was a long way from home. I was in the room beside Brother Jewel Forney. We was doing those meetings together. And I left that little latch there on the door so he could come in, because I wasn't even hardly able to get up and open the door for him. And Brother Jewel come in and checked on me. And I had to preach on a Thursday night, I believe it was. And Brother Jewel come in, he said, you going to be able to preach? I said, I don't know, Brother Jewel. He said, listen, if you're not able, he said, I'll take your service tonight. You can take my service Saturday night. That'll give you a couple of nights to get well. I said, well, let me pray about it, Brother Jewel. He said, well, let me know so I have time to get ready. I said, I will, buddy, I will. I was laying on the floor, had my feet up on the couch, laying on the floor of the hotel room. He was sitting there talking to me. He said, well, I said, I will, Brother Jewel. So I began to text a few brothers and ask them to pray. And I got a quote from Brother Mike Price. God bless his soul. And this quote so inspired me. Brother Bam's talking about preaching sick. And it so inspired me, I thought, by God's grace, I want to preach tonight. And I text Brother Jewel, if I remember, I text Brother Jewel. I said, Brother Jewel, I'm going to take the service. And I got a text back that said, oh man. He brought me food. Brother Jewel brought me food, and I laid in the floor of a hotel room with my feet upon the couch and eat my food off of a hotel room floor. You know your back is hurting when you do that. I'll never forget this right hip right here. It was like 4 inches higher than the left. It was just all twisted. I was twisted over like this. I had to bring this foot way up just for my hips to be even. And I got up to go to the bathroom and I looked in the mirror. I thought, oh my God, I hope I don't stay like this the rest of my life. And I began to cry. I was so far from home. And I was hurting. And I just wanted to be home. And I was standing there looking in the mirror and I began to cry. And I said, Lord, please don't make me stand in front of your people like this. Please don't make me stand up there like this tonight.
All right.
So we get up to go to the meeting. Brother Jewel was driving. He drives like he preaches. Forty-five minutes in a truck with a fiery evangelist. I get out of the truck. It was all I could do to get my legs to work. Brother Manuel had a camera on the outside of his church. He said when he saw me, he said, oh my Lord, look at Brother Darrell. He's got to preach. So I'll go into Brother Manuel's new church. He's got steps to the study. I had to climb the steps. I'm in the study talking. I'm trying to be nice. And I thought, I just wanted to scream. I was hurting so bad. I just wanted to scream. All right. And he left. As soon as he left, I took my shoes off, laid down on the floor, put my feet up on the couch until they called Only Believe. They started singing Only Believe. And I got up and I came downstairs and I came through the door. Sister Cindy, Brother David was in that meeting. I come through the door. Every step was pain. And I get up to the pulpit and I turn around and I put my hands and my knuckles were white. I were holding on so tight because I didn't know exactly what would happen if I moved fast. I just didn't know what would happen. And I was standing there and all at once I felt like a hand touched the small part of my back. And I always have mic trouble. I don't care where I'm at. I have microphone trouble. And I thought my mic wasn't working. And I thought the song leader had touched my back to tell me, your mic's not working. So I turned around to look. And when I turned around, there was nobody there. And I thought, that's funny. And I turned back around. And as soon as I did, it's like two warm vials of water begin to run down both of my legs. And when they hit my ankles, the back trouble got. It was over. It was over. Because God answers his prayers. God moves on his word. What's our motive? What's our objective? God will give us the desires of our heart. This woman saw she had a need. She fell down at the Lord. Her daughter was grievously vexed with the devil. And she fell down before him. And she said, Lord, help me. She was willing to admit she needed help. Friends, I believe in election. I believe in predestination. You know me well enough to know I believe those things. But I do not believe that we are so elected and so predestinated that we can't humble ourselves down and say, God, I need help. There's nothing wrong with telling God, I need help, Lord. Come on, somebody. Well, I'm afraid it'll show weakness. That's just honesty. Humble yourself down before him. She said, Lord, help me. Help me, Lord. And he turned to her. He said, it's not right. It's not right to take the children's bread and give it to dogs. He called her a dog. God had never moved her. Oh, God. Because she found the one that could help her. She was not leaving till she got what she needed from Jesus. She was seeking. She was asking. She was knocking. He called her a dog. And you know what she said? Yay, Lord. That's nothing but the truth. What's her attitude? She agreed that the word was right. That's what we must do. We must agree with the word. If your thoughts are contrary to the word, if your feelings are contrary to the word, you've got to cast those things down. She said, yeah, Lord, that's true. But even the dogs eat the crumbs that falls from the master's table. But Terry, she said, Lord, I'm not asking for a loaf of bread. I'm not asking for a slice of bread. I just want crumbs. I'm just asking for crumbs because, Brother Bert, she realized when you get crumbs, when you get crumbs from the master's table, everything that's in the loaf, everything that's in the slice is in the crumbs. It's in the crumbs. She knew, yes, Lord, that's true. I'm not worthy of a loaf. I'm not even worthy of a slice. But can I have crumbs? I just want crumbs.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
You see, she realized, Sister Jenny, she realized there was something at his table for her. And let me say to you tonight, I don't care who you are, how old you are, how young you are, whether you're male, whether you're female. No, it doesn't matter. I want you to understand tonight, there is something at his table for every one of us. There is something, oh God, there is something at Jesus' table for us. There's healing, there's deliverance, there's joy, there's forgiveness. Amen, it's there at his table. There's something at his table for us. I may not be the smartest, I may not be the richest, I may not be the greatest, I may not be, but no matter what I am, no matter what I am, there's something at his table for me. That got him. Brother Amos, thank God, Jesus. That touched Jesus. And he said, for this saying, your daughter is made whole. You see, I want you to notice, it wasn't what he said that brought her healing. It was what she said. Oh, God. She was like Hattie Wright. She said the right words. And I say to you, the one who can help us is here tonight. The one who can help her was there. And that same one is here tonight. If we can believe it, if we can get into the atmosphere of it. Don't pull back on me. Give me just a few more minutes. I feel you pulling back. Don't pull back. Listen to me. Listen. If we can get into that atmosphere, I know it's the truth. The problem is if we get a handful of people sitting here tonight could get into perfect atmosphere, watch what takes place. There wouldn't be a feeble one in our midst. The cripple will walk. The blind will see. The deaf will hear. The dumb will speak without even a prayer. He said it's the atmosphere. If we can create an atmosphere. What is the atmosphere we need to create? I've got a need. And the one who can meet that need is here. And if we can bring those two elements together. I've got a need. And the one who can meet that need is here. If we can bring those two together. If you can awake your conscience to the fact that Jesus Christ is here. And your faith can release an atmosphere that anything is possible. Huh? Blinded would see, The deaf would hear, the dumb would speak, the lame will walk without even a prayer. When we get in an atmosphere that I've got this need and the doctor says he can't help me and the doctor says there's no hope for me and the doctor's only given me so long, but I've got this Jesus. He's my healer. He's my joy. He's my strength. He's my physician and he's here. He said he would be here and I've got this need. If I can bring those two together like she brought that together, and when she brought that together and made contact with him, it was over. You realize you've got a need, and the answer to your need is here. The answer to your need is here when you realize that. I was down in Mexico. There was a man came up, had a diabetic ulcer. He pulled his pants leg up. It had ate into his bone. I could see his bone through the wound in his leg. He was going to take his leg off with a diabetic ulcer. I preached tonight on the bride's checkbook, that we can write a check for what we have need of. And that man came up through an interpreter. I don't speak Spanish. He came up through an interpreter and he said, I want to write a check for my leg. Amen. About 2 months later, I went back down into Mexico, Matamoros, Mexico, Brother Benai Espinola's father's who it was. I went back down in there. That man came running up to me, pulled up his pants leg. His leg was completely healed. The only thing there was a dark spot where that ulcer was. It was just a dark spot on his skin. Oh, he was so happy. And he told me he went back to the doctor. And the doctor said, what did you do? We have other people on a list to take their leg off with diabetic ulcers. Tell us what you did. We'll tell them to do the same thing. He said, I told the doctor, I wrote me a check. The doctor said, what? He said, a brother came from America. Said, I didn't even know I had a checkbook. Said, he said, Jesus gave me a checkbook. And I wrote my check out for what I had need of. And I sent it into Jesus. Why? The atmosphere was created. He had a need, and the one who could meet that need was there. Oh, hallelujah. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Rebecca said, he meets in the councils of men. He met in 500 once, 70, 12, 3. He even met with one. That's what makes him God. He's so concerned that he will meet with any individual, anywhere, that that person will call on him. Amen. Pretty simple, ain't it? But why do we complicate it? Why do we complicate it? He's so concerned, Brother Ben said, that's what makes him God, is he has the ability to humble himself. Amen. To come to one maniac living among the tombs. Because one man who was demon-possessed, cutting himself, living among the dead, crying from his soul for help. And Jesus crossed a stormy sea to come to that one man. It's the only person that you ever read that Jesus ever even touched or dealt with in that whole coastal city, because they asked Jesus to leave. He crossed the stormy sea to come to one maniac living among the tombs. Brother Bram said, that's what makes him God. Down in the belly of a whale for one Jonah. Down in the lion's den for one Daniel. To a black woman in Memphis, because she had enough faith to cry out, where is your Elijah? Hallelujah! And God grounded an airplane! Amen! Grounded an airplane and held it on the ground that the prophet could go and pray for that black woman's son. Call unto me, God said. Call unto me, and I will answer thee. Jesus told his disciples, get into the boat. We must go to the other side. And while they were crossing the sea, you know where they was going? They was going to this maniac I was just talking about. And while they were crossing the sea, Satan got into the elements and caused a great storm. And the prophet said the sails were torn, the oars were broke, and the boat was filling with water. And Jesus was on the boat. The one who made the wind, the one who made the water, the one who made the air was in the boat with them. Don't you think if he created those things, they would obey him? So the answer to their storm was in the boat with them. And the answer to your problems tonight is in this building with you tonight. That's true. The same Jesus. Where Brother said, God made you to be healthy. He made your body. He made you a human being. He gave you eyes. He gave you health. He said, I would above all that you would prosper and be in health. It's the devil that gets into our bodies and in our minds the same way he got into the wind and he got into the rain. And if God could deliver them from the storm, then that same God can deliver us from our storms. They should have known what was going to happen. They should have known what was going to happen. He done said to them, get into the boat. We must go to the other side. The word done said they were going over. How soon they forgot the promise. As soon as the storm arose. How soon we forget he's our healer when the doctor gives us a bad report. Come on, somebody. Amen. But don't you think him being the word knew all things? How many believes he knew it? How many believes he knew the storm was coming? How many believes he knew the devil would try to drown them? Sure, he was the word. He knew all things. But was he on the edge of the boat? Was it stay awake? No, boy, stay awake. Nobody, no, don't put back the coffee. No time for, he never done that. You know what Jesus did? He went down in the boat and went to sleep. Why? Because he done said, we're going over. Don't you understand? He's done said, we're going in the rapture. But Brother said, I doubt he was even asleep. But Brother said, I doubt he was even asleep. He was just laying back there. He knew what was going to happen. He was just waiting to see what they was going to do. Laying back there waiting for them to call him on the scene. And that same Jesus is waiting tonight for someone to call out to him. For he said in his word, if you will call unto me, I will answer thee. Amen. They knew he was able to do these things. When it dawned on him he was in the boat, immediately they began to call on Jesus because they knew he was the one who was able to take care of the storm. And that same Jesus that was with them is here with us now. For he said in his word, I will never leave thee, nor will I forsake thee. I'll be with you always, even to the end time. He said he would be. Way back over in Leviticus 16:14. The Bible said they shall take the blood of a bullock and sprinkle it with his finger upon the mercy seat eastward. And Brother Branham said the reason they sprinkled it eastward, because that's the way Jesus comes. And way back in the Old Testament, they would take their finger and stick it down into the blood. And they would take that blood, and the prophet of God said, the Bible said, they would sprinkle that mercy seat 7 times with his finger, 7 times towards the east. He would sprinkle that mercy seat with the blood off of his finger. And Brother Brim said, isn't that beautiful? 7 times towards the east. What is it? It's the 7 church ages shall be covered by the blood. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ's blood is just as sufficient through every church age, the same yesterday, today, and forever. To every age, to heal every sinner, to heal every sick person, to bring every miracle, every sign to pass. 7 times way back over in the Old Testament, they prophesied that Christ would be with us throughout the church ages. The blood shall never lose its power. The word declaring there's a blood shed for you. I will not leave thee, nor will I forsake thee. His blood still covered us. A little while the world will see me no more. He said, but ye shall see me. How will we see you? How will we see you? Because I'll be with you, even in you, to the end of the world. He said, the world won't see me, but you'll see me. Lord, how we want to see you, Jesus. How will we see you? We want to see you. You promised we would see you. He said, I'll be with you, even in you. Then where is he? Look around. He's here with us now. As the Father sent me, so send I you. How did the Father send him? The Father that sent him went with him and was in him and done the works through him. And the Jesus that sends us goes with us and is in us and does the works through us, making him the same yesterday, today, and forever. Huh? You ever wondered? Have you ever wondered why he gave us the Holy Ghost? Have you ever thought about that? You know, he's God. He can do what he wants to. God could have just said, how many wants to be saved? Raise your hand. And everybody that raised their hand, there's all right. Now, you all raised your hand. You stand over here. Y'all didn't raise your hand. You go to hell. Could he not do that? He's God. Who are we to tell God what to do? So God could say, all right, now I'm going to ask you one more time. In case you didn't understand it. Who wants to go to heaven? Raise your hand. All right, everybody raise their hand. Well, praise the Lord, there's one. Hallelujah. I guess it's just me and you, buddy, but we'll have a good time. Woo! Don't leave me now. Stay with me. Amen. Says, y'all go over here and stand. Everybody wants to go to heaven, go over here and stand. Rest of you? Go to hell. But he never done that. He gave us the Holy Ghost. He gave us the sonship. He gave us authority. He gave us signs and wonders. He gave us miracles. He gave us power. He gave us peace. Why? Why did he do that? Why did he make me a son of God? Brother Bram said he done that so his works could be continued in his church. Don't you see why he equipped us this way? Why he placed us this way? Because he, when he was here, it was in a body called Jesus. Now it's in a body called the bride. Hallelujah. And the same signs he done, we shall do also, because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. You see, when he was on the boat, he was in a body called Jesus. But now he's in a body called the bride. Where is he? He's right here with us. He said he would be. He's just waiting to be called on the scene. He's just waiting to be proved. He said, let's wake Jesus. Let's awaken the Jesus that's in us. Let's make him conscious. Let us make it conscious. Let's make it conscious that he is with us now. Awaken our conscience to the fact he's here. He's here. I'm closing. You are a chosen generation. A royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. That's who you are. That's what Peter said we are. We are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. If you don't believe that, just go to Walmart. But why? So that you may show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. We are a peculiar nation, a royal priesthood. We are a nation. Amen. Deuteronomy 4:7 says this, for what nation is there so great who hath God so nigh unto them? My God, I'm going to tell you about how to spell. Listen what he says. For what nation? You are a royal priesthood, a peculiar people, a holy nation. And the Bible says, what nation is there so great who hath God so nigh unto them as the Lord our God in all things that we call upon him for? What nation? What nation has their God so nigh unto them that they just have to call upon him? You know, I was down at the Apache Nation one time, down at Brother Kevin's church preaching. Oh, I love those people out there. Just come from out there in Arizona just a few weeks ago. Just love to be out there with those people. But I was out there one time and I seen this Apache fella had a t-shirt on. Said, watch out, white man. This is Apache land. That's what I said. I said, wow. I said, my mama part Indian. And then I got to thinking, and I've told this before, and a brother heard it, and he actually made me a t-shirt. I've got it at the house. But I thought, we need to make us t-shirts. It says, watch out, devil. This is bride land. We are the bride nation. We are the royal priesthood. We are a peculiar people. We are a holy nation. And our God is nigh unto us, that he hears us when we call. And he said, if you will call, I will answer. Why shouldn't we praise him? Why shouldn't we believe him? Why shouldn't we worship him? There is no God like our God. There is no God like my God. He is my peace. He is my strength. He is my joy. He is my shield. He is my friend. He's my bridegroom. He's my healer. He's my physician. He's my assurance. He's the keeper of my flame. Hallelujah. He's my token. He's my God. He said, I am God, and beside me there is none other. My God hung the moon. My God hung the stars. My God makes the blind see, and the lame walk, and the dumb speak, and the deaf hears. My God raises the dead. My God gives the Holy Ghost. My God forgives sins. My God speaks to the storm and it rolls back. My God sets the captive free. I'm talking about my God tonight. Amen. That's my God tonight. I love what Brother Joe said the other day when he was preaching. He said, Brother Branham looked through that telescope. I think he saw 126 million light years of space. And Brother Joe said, Brother Bram said, beyond that there were still moons and stars that he hung. 126 million light years of space. And Brother Bram said, beyond that there were still moon and stars. And Brother Bram said, that Bible said that God holds those. Brother Bram said, he holds those in his hand by the power of his word. And then Brother Joe finished that quote and he said, and he has placed that word in you. Hallelujah. The word of God that's able to hold 126 million light years of space and stars beyond that. And he holds them by the power of his word. And he's given you and I that same word. We shouldn't be afraid to call on him. We should not be afraid to call on our God. You have not, because you ask not. I shared with Brother J.D. right before service. Brother Harry, come. Listen to this. It's just now 8:31. I've tried to be good tonight. Of course, I did come out a little bit early. I understand that. But listen. Listen, Psalm 68:20. He that is our God is the God of salvation. And unto God the Lord belong the issues from death. The Bible says our God is the God of our salvation. And unto our God the Lord belong the issues of death. If you look that word issues up, it means the escape from death. My God owns the escape from death. You see, my God is the escape door. He is our emergency exit. When the devil's got us up against the wall, he is the door that we can step through. Our God owns the issues of death. He is the way of escape. And he said, call unto me and I will answer thee. Amen. Seek, and ye shall find. Ask, and it shall be given unto you. Amen. Knock, and the door will be open. Amen. You see, the man got the bread, not because he went to Happy Valley and he was a friend. He got the bread because he would not quit asking. Amen. And the prophet said, ask God for big things. Ask Him abundantly that your joy may be full. For He is our escape door. He said, I am the way, the truth, the life, and I am the door to the sheepfold. Just step through my door and live. The pressure's too great. The sickness is so great. The weariness is so great. Friends, I've been there 68 days. In a hospital room. I'm so glad he was the escape door. Amen. I could just step through the door into his presence. Amen. If you have a need here tonight, friends, no matter what you face in life, some of you have such complexes, some of you have such fears. But if you could only understand tonight, that He is here. The one who can deliver you of that complex. The one who can deliver you of that nervousness. Colitis, what's that to God? Cancer means nothing to God. He is our healer. If He spoke to that storm and it obeyed Him, cannot He speak to your storm? Then if you have a need tonight and you can see that He's here. Brother, I didn't feel one thing. Good. Because you see, your feelings can lie to you. But the Word of God will never lie. And the Word of God says, He's here. And the Word of God says, call unto me and I will answer. And if you believe that and you call, you can have your answer. But, goat's butt. Sheep say, amen. If thou can believe, all things are possible. If He healed one diabetic ulcer, He could heal another. If He could heal one cancer, He can heal another. If He could restore one marriage, He can restore another. He's God. Why would we limit our God when we can simply take Him at His word, like this woman did, even when He said, you're a dog. She said, yea, Lord. But I just need crumbs. I just need crumbs. Call unto me, and I will answer thee. Do you believe that tonight? Brother Brent said he's waiting on some of you all to call Him on the scene tonight. Said, I don't even think He was really asleep. He was just waiting to see. Are they going to do it? Are they going to call on me? Are they going to give me a chance to show them? Are you going to give Him a chance to show you just how big He is? Let's bow our heads tonight. The more I seek You, the more I find You. The more I find You, the more I love You. at your feet, drink from the cup in your hand, lay back against you and breathe, feel your heart beat. This love is so deep, it's more than I can understand. I rest in your peace, it's overwhelming. Oh, hallelujah. While our heads bowed tonight, if you have a need, you want to call him on the scene. Some already standing here in the altar tonight. While we sing it to him once more, open your heart to him tonight. Whatever you're facing, friends, don't be afraid. We're living in such troublesome times, but don't be afraid. I'll never leave thee, nor will I forsake thee. Just call him on the scene tonight. Just love him. Just let him know how much you love him. How much you believe in his word. How much you believe that he can meet your need tonight. He's big enough. Our God is big enough tonight to meet every need. While we sing it tonight, if you want to come, there's others here in the altar now. If you want to come tonight for prayer, amen, let's come now as we sing it to him once more. With our heads bowed and our hearts open to him. Amen, amen, and amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. The more I seek you, the more I find you. The more I find you. Amen. Oh, the more I love you. Yes, Lord Jesus. I want to sit at your feet, drink from the cup in your hand, lay back against you and breathe, feel your heart beat. This love is so deep, it's more than I can understand. I rest in your peace, it's overwhelming. The more I seek you, hallelujah, the more I find you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, the more I find you, the more I love you. Oh yes, Lord. I want to sit at your feet, drink from this cup in your hand, lay back against you and breathe, feel your heart beat. This love is so deep, it's more than I can understand. I rest in your peace. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
The more I seek you, the more I find you. Father, the more I find you, more than I can understand. This is the air I breathe. This is the air I breathe. Your holy presence, holy living in me. This is the air. Heaven, you'll never it in. Why don't you just say, Satan, watch me prove you a liar again. I'm gonna keep pressing on and on and on, pressing on, keep pressing on. We're gonna keep pressing. Jesus came.
I said, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. There is no God like my God. My God, at any time, at any moment, under any circumstances, can make it right. My God can do what we think is impossible. Do you believe that tonight? Why shouldn't we believe it? Why does it help us not to believe that? Huh? Why would it ever help us that our problem was bigger than our God? Well, brother, I got big problems. I know you do. I know you do. But our God's bigger. He can do the impossible. Amen. I believe that. Can I share something with you just before we go? We was in the meetings out in Arizona. I wasn't sure if Cheryl was going to come out or not, so I had to go ahead and get my ticket. So when we found out that she could come out and spend a few days with me, and I was so glad she did. I had to get an earlier flight for her to come home. So we get to the airport that morning because I wasn't flying out to 1. She was flying out at 10:30. So I went down to the gate. I said, my wife is on this flight. Is there any way you can put me on this flight with my wife? And they looked at me like, are you serious? We're just overbooked already and there's people waiting. She says, I'm sorry, there's just no way. I said, I understand. Thank you for trying. Put my wife on the plane and I sat there and I thought, I'll watch her leave. Well, she kept sitting there. So I text her. I said, what are you doing? There's a storm in Atlanta. They've grounded us. Supposed to left at 10:30, 11:10, still sitting there. I could see her from the window. She was wearing pink. I said, I see you. I see you. Finally, she was able to take off. Come time for me to get on my plane. I get on my plane. We're sitting there. We're getting comfortable. The pilot comes on and says, they put too much fuel in the plane. It's overflowed. The runway's flooded with fuel. There's fire trucks on each side. Ambulances, rescue. We have to evacuate the plane. And I said, no problem. So we got off the plane and we was all standing around there. I thought, my goodness. So I got to checking. They said my flight out of Atlanta to Tri-Cities would take off at 12:30 and arrive at 1:30 in the morning. And I thought, that ain't going to happen because they closed the airport at 11:30. There's no more planes come in. So I text her. Of course, she was in the air, but I text her and said, I guess I'll be spending the night in Atlanta. So finally, we get back on the plane and finally we take off. And finally, after 4 hours or whatever it was, we landed in Atlanta. And I was thinking, I wonder where she's supposed to be home at 8 o'clock. Cheryl's supposed to be home at 8. I was landing at 8. And I thought, surely she's home by now. So I text her and said, where are you? She texts back, I'm at gate C40. The plane's been delayed for 2 hours. So I think, my goodness. So I get off, and like O.J. Simpson, I ran. I ran all the way to C40. I didn't know I could still run like that. Kind of felt good about myself. Thought I better cancel that heart appointment. Anyway, I get to the gate, and I run up to the gate, and I'm sucking air, you know. I said, is there any way I can get on this flight? My wife's on this flight. Is there any way I can get on this flight with her? And she said, are you kidding? This flight's full. We've got 6 people waiting on standby. She said, but we'll add you to the bottom of the list. I said, that ain't no problem. I've been at the bottom of the list all my life. She said, now you have not. I said, yes, ma'am, I have. My last name's W. So she put me, I was the 7th one, number 7 on standby. So I'm standing there, and this computer goes, and it pulls a piece of paper, comes up, and that woman says, come here. And I went over there, and she handed me a seat. That's what I said. But it wasn't just a seat. It was a comfort seat. So I get on the plane. Cheryl don't know I'm on the plane. And I'm looking back there, and I see her. And she's texting me this... She's texting me this story. I guess you're not going to be able to make it, and I'll see you in the morning. She's in the middle of text. I see her head down. I know she's texting. So I sit down, and this guy says, where are you? I said, man, you wouldn't believe that. That's been a crazy day. And I said, my wife's on this plane somewhere. He said, your wife? I said, yes, sir. He said, well, where's she at? I said, I'll take her seat. I said, no, sir, I wouldn't ask you to do that. I kind of made a little joke. I said, we've been fussing all day. They kept us separated. He said, no, I'll do that. And so this man gets up and goes back to where my wife is and trades places with her so that she can come and sit with me in comfort seating so we can fly home together. And you thought, I mean, that's just something little. But to me, that just shows how much he loves us. How much he loves us. Something that we would think could never, ever possibly work out. And we fly home together in comfort seating. Amen. If God can put us in comfort seating after we've been separated all day, surely he can meet your needs tonight. Do you love him? Are we going to call on him? Are we going to believe him? Amen. Those of you didn't come up for prayer that needed to come up for prayer tonight, just call on him. Just look to him tonight. Just cast that problem down. You go home tonight before you go to bed, just say, Lord, I've had this thing. I've battled this high blood, this low blood, this cholesterol, this whatever, this menop, whatever it would be that you're battling. Why don't you just lay it at his feet tonight? Why don't you just simply lay it at his feet? Tomorrow's the resurrection. Wake up in a new dawning of a new day with a new body and new health. Amen. Can we not do that? Amen. Let there be great testimonies. Let there be great testimonies. Because he said, if you call unto me, I will answer thee. Amen. Oh, isn't he wonderful? Amen. Praise be the name of the Lord. Let's just bow our heads. Heavenly Father, tonight, Lord. God, we're just so thankful for this atmosphere. It just feels so charged, Lord. And our hearts, Lord, our joy is full. And I know, Lord, it's because of what your prophet said for us to ask abundantly that our joy may be full. Father, there were some big needs come up here tonight. People, Lord, with bill problems. But Father, there wasn't a need that I heard mentioned tonight that's bigger than you, Lord. You're a big God who wants us to ask for big things. And Father, how it must bring you joy when we look to you knowing you're able to open our ears. You're able, dear God, to take care of that sugar, that diabetes. You're able, Lord, to take that oppression, those decisions or those thoughts, those words that come to us, those words of discouragement that tries to tell us we're not a part of it. You're able to take care of those things, God. May we just keep our eyes upon you, Lord. May we just follow you, Lord. For you're leading us out of here. God, there's such unrest in our country right now, Lord. People don't even know what to believe anymore. People don't even know what the bathroom to go in anymore. I'm so glad, Lord. I'm so glad, Lord, we can rest on the promises of your word. Knowing that Daddy can fix any problem. Our Daddy can fix any problem, Lord. Father, every time I sing that song about leaning against your back, your chest, Lord, leaning back against your chest, I think of when Allison was little and I came in from that meeting so tired. She came downstairs and saw me at home. She come running and climbed up in my lap, told me that she loved me. And then, Lord, she just laid her head up against my shoulder, never said nothing else. Love has its own language, Lord. Amen. And Lord, in that moment of time, I'll never forget that, Lord. How that felt to have her in my arms, knowing she trusted me. And God, that's what I want to do tonight, Lord. Climb up in your arms. Just lean against your chest, Lord. Just to tell you I love you. I believe you, Lord. I want to serve you, God. I just want to tell you how great you are to me. I just want to tell you how much you mean to me. You're the healer of our spirits, the healer of our bodies. Oh, Father, we just love you tonight, God. And while we're here in your presence, may we just melt into you, Lord. May we just melt into you, Lord. May we leave our sicknesses, our fears, our problems, our worries, the doctor's reports. May we just lay it all here at the altar tonight. May we just lay it right where we're at and walk out free, Lord. Walk out rejoicing in a God who cannot fail. Our healer, our joy, and our peace. Thank you, Lord, for this season. Thank you, Lord, for what it means to us. We love you, Jesus. We commit this congregation into your hands, Lord. Thank you, Lord, the response to the word tonight and helping me preach. Lord, I know I'm no kind of a preacher, God, but thank you, Lord. Thank you for being here with us tonight. We love you, Lord Jesus. Go home with us now as we make our way. Be watch over us. May our travels be safe. Commit each congregation, each family member into your hands for your glory. Till we meet again in the morning as we honor the resurrection. May we come, Lord, rejoicing because the sun is up. The sun is up, Lord. Grant it, Father, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. God bless you, saints. You go in the fear of the Lord tonight. Do you love him? As we go, let's just sing it to him again. I want to sit at your feet. Amen. I want to sit at your feet. Drink from the cup in your hand. Lean back against you and breathe. Feel your heart beat. This love is so deep. It's more than I can understand. I rest in your peace. It's overwhelming. The more I see. Bless you, saints. Oh, the more I love you. Thank you, Jesus. I want to sit. Amen. Feel your heartbeat. This love is so deep. There's more than I can understand. I rest in your arms. It's overwhelming. The more I seek you, oh, the more I find you. Hallelujah. God bless you, saints. You're dismissed in the fear of the Lord. Amen. May the Lord bless you this evening. Oh, the more I love you, Lord, amen. I want to sit at your feet, drink from this cup in your hand, lay it back against you and breathe, feel your heartbeat. This love is so deep, it's more than I can understand. I rest in your peace. It's overwhelming. Oh, oh. Hallelujah. I want to just sit with you for a while, Jesus. I want to just tell you what you mean to me. I want to just tell you how much I love you. I want to just tell you how great you are. I just want to worship you, Lord. I just want to worship you, Lord. I just want to worship you, God. I just want to tell you I love you, Jesus. I don't have good words. I'm not a smart person, Lord. I don't know how to say what my heart feels, God. But I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord Jesus. I thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you for all you've done for me. Thank you for all you've given me, God. How I thank you, Lord Jesus. Can I just sit at your feet for a while? I just want to worship you. I just want to adore you, God. I just want to magnify your name, Lord. I just want to tell you I love you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Ooh, 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 ooh. Sit at your feet from this cup in your hand, laid back against you and till your heart beat. This love is so deep, it's more than I could understand. I rest in your peace. So yes, Lord, the more I love. Oh, hallelujah. The more I find you.